I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I wear this crown of thorns upon my liar's chair, full of broken thoughts I cannot repair. Beneath the stains of time, the feelings disappear. You are someone else. I am still right here. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away.
Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Talk with John. I am your host, John. Kind of funny how that works out, huh? Today, Saturdays from 3 to 5 Mountain and 4 to 6 Central, you can tune in, folks, and join me here. And today is, let's get this show off to a proper start, as it were. It is Saturday, January 29th, 2020. Notice I didn't shortchange anybody there. Months, years, I've done it recently. And I'm glad to be here with you folks. Here in just a moment, I'm going to be bringing on my guest for the first hour. And hopefully he can make it through the whole hour with us, because I think you're going to really enjoy what he has to say. The second hour is going to be open lines, and he may even be willing to take a couple phone calls from the audience. But before we get going any further, let me give out my show prayer. I hope my show is a gift back to my forefathers, the founding fathers, and may it be an acceptable token to our Father above. And let's not forget, hopefully it's an acceptable show to John Stadtmiller. Then, my show motto, mantra, where there is liberty, there is the Spirit of Christ. Where the Spirit of Christ is, there will be liberty. And the greater the Spirit of Christ, the greater liberty will be. And to me, that's a very important thing. That goes off of 2 Corinthians, and it also goes off of the Constitution, Article 7. I believe our founders believed that this nation was, the God of this land was Jesus Christ. And they, many of them said as such in different writings, and that's who I believe the God of this land. Now, the God of this world may be Satan, but the God of this land, and as long as we serve him, and the better we serve him as a people, we will have his grace. Now, we need to overcome a bunch of things so we can get back to getting more of that grace. And we'll see what happens. But without any further ado, I want to bring up Jason Preston. Jason Preston is running for the second congressional district of Utah for the United States Congress. And he, let's see, and I want to make sure that I give out his website. It's PrestonForCongress.com. Folks, I think after listening to him, you're going to want to pay attention to this man. You're going to, hopefully a few of you might even, once you've made a donation to RBN, donate a little bit to possibly his campaign, because I've spoken with him several times. I think he's the genuine article. I believe he is. Now, don't get me wrong. This is one of the things that I liked about him the most. Even he says you need to keep an eye on your elected officials, and if I'm become an elected official, you need to keep your eye on me and not necessarily trust me and everything I say. So, without any further ado, Jason, if you're ready to roll, you there, sir?
I'm ready. I'm right here.
Okay, fantastic. So, let's start it with this. I'm going to ask first, what qualifies you to run for the seat that you're running for? What qualifies you to serve in the office that you're seeking? And then I'll ask you kind of what made you decide to run. But let's just start there. What qualifies you to run for the office that you're running for?
Well, John, appreciate you bringing me on the show, and love chatting with you and having the opportunity to talk about liberty. But yeah, what qualifies me? You go to the Constitution, and I'm of legal age, and I'm a citizen. I think one of the biggest things is when you take office, you swear an oath. And the oath of office is that you will defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. And one of my biggest concerns is that we put people in office who are qualified, that we believe, in the sense that they understand the administrative side. They've been through the system. They're in the system. They've been career politicians, but they don't understand the very document they swear an oath to protect. And we swear an oath to defend the Constitution against enemies foreign and domestic. And the problem is, who are enemies domestic? And I would say enemies domestic are those who trample that very document and pass laws after law after law that have transformed our country from a constitutional republic to a socialist country that our founding fathers wouldn't even recognize. So what qualifies someone? Well, it used to be that it was not career politicians. We would bring farmers and business owners, statesmen who would leave their jobs, go and serve for a few years, and then go back home and live under the laws that they created. And so what I look for in people that are running is people that first and foremost understand the principles of liberty, understand the Constitution, understand what laws are constitutional and what laws are not. And secondly, I look for people who are not career politicians, who by the time they get in there, they're already bought and paid for. And, I owe allegiance to nobody. I owe allegiance to God, to my family, and to those who I serve in that role, not to any special interest groups and not to people who have, paid me off. So that's, I think, what qualifies me to run. And that's exactly why I'm running, because I think we need now, and I think across the country, people are recognizing, not just about Republicans, we need people who understand the principles of liberty and the Constitution, and will stand up against this encroaching government that has almost taken us to the brink of this country's existence.
All right, so let me let's just dive down. What made you decide you wanted to run for the seat that you're running for? And for those of you that don't know, it's, if I remember correctly, it's John Curtis that currently holds that seat, or at least sits in that seat. And so what made you decide you wanted to run? And we'll start there.
So it is the 3rd congressional district. You're right.
I was wrong. 3rd congressional district.
Well, you got it right, though. It's Curtis is currently in there, but it is a 3rd congressional district. But, you know, I'll tell you what made me decide to run. I've been involved and concerned about liberty my whole life, really starting around, I got really into history in college, really into the Cold War. But I really kind of got very into it when I ended up reading some of Ezra Taft Benson's books and started really understanding. It was about 2006 when I started getting into Ezra Taft Benson's books, and really I realized everything I thought I knew about history was maybe not quite as I thought it was, and it was very, it was sad. It was sad because I felt very disillusioned, like everything I thought about, I used to think, the welfare system's great, although I always kind of knew there was problems with it, but all of a sudden I realized that a lot of the things happening in this country are not okay, and I'm a very passionate person, and so, I got involved to help Ron Paul. I brought him out to Utah in 2007, helped him run for office. But I've always been more on the watchdog side, kind of a freedom fighter, and more of one of these people that is concerned about, again, not very trustful of politicians. I always say I have no loyalty to individuals in office on either or parties. My loyalty is the Constitution. So I've always been, and in the last 6 years, I've been working for a legislative watchdog organization that basically helps people get involved in holding Congress accountable. Well, over the last 6 years, I've talked to, well over 5,000 different business owners, hearing their frustrations, how they feel overtaxed, completely overregulated. They feel like the government is making it harder and harder for business owners in the middle class to thrive, let alone survive, let alone thrive. And I think just day after day, and I can tell you literally, I can't tell you how many times I would sit down with people and they would break into tears of frustration. People love this country. People love what this country stands for. And to see so many people becoming disillusioned with what has happened in this country and lose hope, that changed me as an individual. It gradually just really changed me, and it really took that burning love and fire for freedom and really just made it almost unquenchable. And so last year, interestingly enough, never wanted to be a politician, and I have a very colorful past. Interestingly enough, I'm here in Florida right now getting ready to see Jordan Peterson. My wife got me tickets to see him backstage, and he actually has a huge, I actually wrote him a letter, but he has a huge role in me running for office because he kind of helped me take my life from a place in shambles, 7 years ago to, where I am now. And, a year ago, I was at a men's retreat and, had 3 days up in the mountains basically and no cell phones and just being with other strong men and a very spiritual environment. And I really, at one point, felt very pulled that I needed to do this. And I was like, I'm terrified. Like, I don't want to do it. Because, again, I know what's involved. I know how, especially if you're a good person, they will smear you and they will try to destroy your reputation, your family. They'll go after you. So I was like, I need to know this is not my ego talking here, because this is the last thing I want to do is put my life, my family, my kids' life, in a very... a potentially dangerous situation over this idea. So, interestingly enough, I went up to my hammock. It was up in the woods where I was having a lot of time just alone up there at this retreat. And after praying, I opened up this book, Jordan Peterson, where I was reading in his book, and it comes right to this thing. It says, if there's something in the world that bothers you, that frustrates you, the very fact that you're frustrated tells you you have a responsibility to do something about it. And I'm thinking, that kind of fits, what I'm dealing with here. And then he goes on to say, for example, if you're frustrated about politics, what's happening in your government, you have a responsibility to do something. And so that hits me like way hard. And then the very next paragraph, he says, when the call to adventure comes, you cannot be like Abraham, who was sitting in his father's hammock. And then in the lap of luxury, you have to heed the call. And I'm sitting in my hammock, reading this, and I'm like, all right, God, I hear you. And that was when I decided, and then I've had a lot of really just wild experiences along the way that have just, you know, made me realize this is the right thing to do for whatever reason. I felt very called to do this, and I really feel like, to me, it's not so much about me, because I don't think one politician can fix things, but my whole belief system, and the reason I'm doing this is, one, I do believe the Constitution will be saved. Two, I believe it won't be saved by politicians. It has to be saved by we, the people in our, you know, regular, everyday people. And three, I think it has to be done a lot at the state level. I think this federal government has to be reined in. And so, you know, why am I running? It's to wake people up. It's to help people realize that we are in trouble as a country. Instead of looking for leadership from the president or from a politician, the leaders you're looking for is in the mirror. And my whole mission is to get people to stand up and fight. Stand up and realize, you know, you have a role to play. We all have a role to play in saving the Constitution. And it's not to sit behind a computer screen and hit the like button. It's to get involved, whether that means running for office or whether that means standing up, you know, at the Capitol and holding these representatives in Utah accountable. They're trying to pass some horrible bills. Or when we have some good legislation demanding accountability for these people. Or look at all these moms who are getting involved in. And I mean, this is the time of where the individuals need to stand up, where the individual needs to stand up and make a difference. And so that's what I'm doing, and that's why I'm doing it. It's time to wake up the lions. It's time to wake people up who believe in the principles of liberty and call them out, to call them to battle.
All right, so we're going to break in about somewhere in the neighborhood of about 3.5 minutes, actually. Yeah, right about 3.5 minutes. So one question that I have for you is, you've got someone in this seat currently. Why did you go, this man needs to be replaced, and what is it about him that you felt made you confident that you should replace him?
Well, first off, I'm talking to my business owners every day, and I know that I know the approval ratings from, you know, business owners, the people I'm talking to, of their representatives. So I know that he's one that people who are watching closely are, and myself, are frustrated with. You know, these politicians that'll switch from, you know, Democrat to Republican, you know, lifelong Democrat, all of a sudden switch to Republican in order to win the seat. You know, it's just, again, and I don't want to make it about him. This is about typical politicians who they are there for a career. They are there to enrich themselves. They're playing the stock market. The people are concerned about, you know, election integrity. People are concerned about the out of control mandates. People are concerned about the education system being taken over. People are concerned about, you know, our economy and about, you know, being energy independent. And we have politicians that are completely out of touch with we the people. And look, it's not about him, or it's about, this is a problem we have with most of our politicians. And even though I'm in this district, so that's where I'm, you know, that's where I feel like I need to stand and fight. But there's a lot of other representatives that are in the same boat that are there for their career, and they're there to further their career. And when you call them and we're asking them, hey, we're concerned about this, you get these dismissive answers. I've easily over 1,000 letters to my representatives. And the letters I get back are usually very, they say what you want them to hear. They try to thread the needle to do whatever they can do to stay in office. They are not there to stand up. They are not watchmen on the towers. And that's what we need. And so the problem is, I hear what the people are saying, and I see representatives that are out saying, well, the biggest issue right now is climate change. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, your people, you're there to serve the people. You have to represent them, and you work for them. You need to pay attention, and your job is to be a watchman on the tower. You should be warning the people, not the people coming in begging you to stand up on these issues.
Let's hit some more things on the other side of this break. Thanks for joining me, Joyce, Jason Preston.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough.
Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Talk with John. Now, should you want to ask Jason Preston some questions, feel free to do so. Most of you know the number, and I'll be giving that out after the next break. That being said, also another way to interact with me is over Twitter. And my Twitter handle is TalkWithJohn1. That's TalkWithJON1. And that's a great way to interact with me. So, what are some of the things that you want to see changed? What are some of the biggest things that you feel Congress is goofing up, making mistakes on, and that you want to see if it can be righted? What are your thoughts there, Jason?
Yeah, I mean that's what's so difficult. If you were to look at America on a kind of sliding scale, and on the one hand, you have where we started as a constitutional republic, and on the other hand, you have full Marxism, communism. I think it would be an easier transition for the country to move into full communism than to move back to a constitutional republic. That's how far out of line our country is. And so, you know, people always want to get caught up, and this is one of the challenges, and this is one of the things that I find very interesting running for office, because people who understand the Constitution, they're always less focused when it comes to a candidate on the issues, and they're more concerned about how well they understand the principles this country was founded upon, because the issues are always changing. And what you have is you have representatives who will jump on an issue and say, "This is what the people want. So I'm going to be pro this, pro that, because we've polled and that's what the people care about." So people who I talk to that understand the Constitution, when they hear me, they're like, "These are men. We love it. We need them in." And then it's interesting because the same presentation, I'll talk to someone else. I'm like, "Well, you sounded great. And I love what you said, but what about this issue? And what about that issue? And what about this issue?" And what I finally realized is, look, when you understand the Constitution, you already know the answer to these issues. You don't need to address all of them, because people who understand the Constitution realize all of that stuff's completely illegal. It's because we're operating from a place where we're of truth and principles that don't change. And so all you have to say is, okay, seatbelt law. Anyone who understands the Constitution, does the government have the authority? Do I, as an individual, have the authority to John, tell you that if you're not wearing a seatbelt, as one citizen or another, I'm going to put you in prison or I'm going to end your life? If I don't have the authority to do that to you, as one citizen to another, how can I, which is, we the people who created government, and we created government to serve us and protect our inalienable rights, how can I authorize the agent who gets his authority from me to do that? And so for me, so when you're dealing with people who understand the principles of liberty, someone like Ron Paul or someone like who some of these representatives we have that we know or Rand Paul, Mike Lederman, I don't need to ask him how he would vote on those, because I know he understands the proper role of government. I know he would stand up against anything where the government takes a role of being the master versus the servant. So, what issues? Holy cow, 95% of what the federal government is doing right now is illegal. Okay, we talk about climate change. There's so many issues there why that's a problem. First of all, if we believe in what the founding fathers gave us, that the government is based on this principle, that there is a God, and he is the source of all truth, that he created all men equal, and that all men have the seeds of divinity, and that we, the people, as individuals, created government to serve us, and the government receives its rights from the consent of the governed. If you believe in that system of government that our founding fathers gave us, how in the world? We don't live in that model anymore. They've taken away God. The federal government has replaced God as the source of our rights. We have all these bureaucracies that, where in the world are they in the Constitution? Where in the world are they?
So let me dive down onto that just a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to put on my liberal hat friend and go, well, where's the evidence that government has become God? I don't see that anywhere.
I think the evidence there is very clear. Look at what they've been doing for the last 50, 60 years, trying to remove God from the classrooms, from the courts, from any government institution. There's been a clear move to remove God. The next pattern we've seen is this: is we've gone from believing in absolute truth, natural law, which is what this country is founded upon, that there is natural law, that there's nature's law or the law of God. All of a sudden, truth is relative. We can now redefine truth, and now who becomes the arbitrator of what's true? The government.
It's my truth.
There were two genders. Now all of a sudden it's this genders, and if you question it, we're going to cancel you. We've moved to a place where the government is acting as a religion. If you question the church of state, you'll get canceled. Whether it's their science, whether it's the way they define men and women, whether it's, the church, the state has become religion.
Okay. So one thing I want to hit the culture and what's driving that culture and how the government's involved in it, public schools and the media. When we get back from the other side.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk, real people, because you can handle the truth.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer. It's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer. Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer. Excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
I think you're crazy.
Republic Broadcasting Network, this is Talk with John, and I've got Jason Preston joining me right now. If any of you have questions for him, feel free to ask him at the end of the hour. But let's start with education. What are your thoughts there? Where's the role of the federal government? What's the role of the state government? Let's just start there.
Well, education is everything. You are only as free as you are informed and educated. And one of the things that the founding fathers were very concerned. In fact, let's take it back. What kept us in the dark ages was the control of information. When the church decided what we could and couldn't read, what we could, when the church was censoring, information is power. Information, there's a quote that says, once the people are educated, they won't ask for power, they will take it. So education is the foundation, of everything. The foundation, we cannot be saved in ignorance. And this is why education is foundational. Stalin, Hitler, Lenin, Mao, all these dictators understood the first key, if you want to enslave a society, is you have to take control of the school systems. And, one of the things that people aren't familiar with is our modern school system was founded by a man by the name of John Dewey. What most people are not aware of is that John Dewey
he
was
gave
a
us
Canadian.
The Dewey Decimal System.
That's right. Look up John Dewey and Fabian Socialist. He was a Fabian Socialist. Now, the Fabian Socialists believed that the way to take down the West wasn't through military conquest, but was through the school systems from within. And so they created a school system that really, instead of creating entrepreneurs and leaders, created more managers and more people who would repeat and obey, groupthink, people who are easy to be manipulated. And that's obviously what this, they've done a very effective job of that. And if you look at what's happened over the years with the school system, they've taken morality out of there. They've taken values out. They've done a phenomenal job. And, you know, now it's getting to a point where, I mean, you look at what's being taught there, it is creating society that is primed to be asked for a master to take care of them. You know, instead of creating strong, you know, I was just reading the other day about Christ when he was 12 years old. This is interesting. When he was 12 years old, his mom had left, they had left Jerusalem. How long was she gone before they realized he was missing?
I believe it was 3 days.
It was a full day. You know, and then the next day. I think it was, you know, whether it's 24 hours.
It was the second day, right.
Yes, yeah, second day. So just think about this. We used to raise, you know, there used to be in almost all cultures, they used to raise the boy, there was always a system where the part of the culture where the boy would die and have to become a man. Where, you know, somewhere around the age of 10 to 12, the boy went through some sort of initiation process where he became a man. Well, think about this for Christ. 12 years old, his mom, his dad, they leave Jerusalem in a caravan. Think of the chaos. And a day goes by, and they, before they even realize, boy, you know, have you seen our son around? What does that tell you about the culture of the way they raised kids back then? He wasn't a boy at 12. He was already a man. They were raising men. They were raising kids to be independent. Contrast that today, where we have 20-year-olds in college, and if they hear words that scare them or that are offensive, they need to sit in a safe space. You know, you compare that to today where this Marxist ideology where people don't even know what gender they are, where they're raised to hate. You know, there's so much indoctrination going on. They don't understand the principles of liberty. I mean, they are being brainwashed Marxism. And the Founding Fathers knew that we would only be free so long as we were educated in the principles of liberty. And you walk around nowadays, you talk to people about the Constitution, people don't understand the word Constitution. No one understands. Very few people understand the proper role of government, especially our politicians. I mean,
well,
they
not only that, they don't, they fear you as soon as you start talking the Constitution. And I would say that there are many that even abhor it.
Yeah.
Don't want anything to do
Absolutely.
With it.
Absolutely. What? So I think the education system is terrifying when you look at what they're doing to these kids. You know, that it's pulling God out of there. It's taking away the role of the parent, you know, this being dismissive of the parent. I mean, it is the state, and this is what they did in every Marxist Russian or Marxist country. You get the state to raise the kids, and you raise kids that have loyalty to the state and do not trust their parents. And what you see when you dig in with this, whether they call it critical race theory or whatever they want to change the name to be so that they think we can't tell what they're doing. That is exactly what is happening. It is attack the parents. It is indoctrinate the kids in Marxism, which they are doing. And you obliterate the idea of real truth. You obliterate the idea that there is law, that there is a God, that there is absolute truth, and then you preach the new truth of the state. I think what's going on in our schools is terrifying, and I think we're raising a group of kids and society that is so weak that they will beg for a master to protect them. I mean, you think about how our society is right now. You know, even to go back a generation when I was a kid, I mean, we used to ride our bikes down the dirt hills with no helmet on. you know, we got hurt. Skateboard down a hill, fall, crash. I remember, you know, getting ended up on crutches. Now you see a kid driving on flat ground with helmet, knee pads, and elbow pads, and a face mask on. You know, and we don't let our kids out. We overprotect them. And then contrast that to back how it was, you know, Christ 12 years old. And at 12 years old, the parents didn't even know where the kids were because they were learning to be adults, learning to be responsible, learning to take care of themselves.
Kind of my thoughts is my guess is, you know, they were probably traveling in a caravan, a large caravan. If I remember correctly, his family had been there for Passover. They were probably traveling in a large caravan, and then finally it became nighttime, and probably to get together with your family and go to bed, right? Well, they're a full day's travel away from Jerusalem. Joseph probably turned to his wife and said, "We need to get a good night's sleep." Or maybe she saw him first thing in the morning, but they probably didn't even realize he was missing until it was time to go to bed at night. And that's just kind of the way those groups could be. He probably was somebody that was very self-sufficient. Okay. So speaking of self-sufficiency, sticking to your group, I firmly believe that we need to have, the ability for people who are not citizens of the United States to become citizens. But I want to know what's your thoughts that are going on on the border down in basically the Western U.S.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a government waging war on this country from within. We have people who swore an oath, politicians, to defend the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. In almost every way, waging war on our economic system, waging war on our schools, waging war on our freedoms and on our own personal choice to have, you know, what we put in our bodies, opening our borders and allowing, you know, millions of people to come in illegally underneath our nose and trying to hide it from us. Spending how much money, you know, I think at one point Biden was talking about giving $500,000. This is treason. What's going on? Do we need it? Is immigration essential? Absolutely. I've spent, you know, about 5-6 years living in South Florida, with a lot of good Cubans. We need immigration. And I will tell you, some of those Cubans are some of the best patriots you'll ever meet. And how about you and patriots?
I was going to bring that up. So it's funny that how when they had the Texas border and New Mexico border basically letting people come in left and right, I believe it was Merrick Garland who was the attorney general shortly after he got in, said to the Cubans, "You may want to stop coming across. It's not very safe, and you will be turned around and you will be turned back if you get here." It's interesting that that's the tone he took with those that wind up now. Cuban Americans have so people from Cuba, when they become Americans, have a tendency to be some of the strongest Republicans and some of the strongest conservatives you will ever meet.
Yeah.
And it's funny how he didn't want them in the country.
Well, but it needs to be done in order though, too, you know, and then same thing like Venezuelan, you want to meet some amazing patriots. Talk to people who've come from Venezuela in the last, you know, 5-10 years, who fled there having their lives at stake. Those guys come here and they understand what socialism it leads to, and they are terrified. And they are and I want those people here. You know, we do need immigration, but we need controlled immigration. And what's gone on in Europe is a perfect example of that, where they've just opened the borders and completely destroyed these countries. They're bankrupt. The middle class is trying to pay for the health care of these people, and it is destroying their cultures. It is destroying their middle class. And now they have the people. That's, again, why are they in the streets in Paris rioting? One, yes, now it's also about COVID, but they've been doing this for a few years, and a lot of it has to do with the illegal immigration. So, again, I'm all about immigration. But when you're going to have illegal immigration, and then you're going to bankrupt a country to try to who is where we are now spending our children's inheritance, It is your children that we are taking from. We are stealing from our children, and we're stealing from the value of the dollar. You know, we pay for it in inflation, and we pay for it with our future children. And it's absolutely abhorrent what's going on there. And the fact that, and that's one of the things that really frustrated me about Utah, because when I was in Florida and I was doing this political work, I worked all over the East Coast and all over the South, and people there were very concerned about illegal immigration. They'd seen what was going on in Europe. They understood that we need immigration, but we need legal immigration. And then I came out to Utah and I started talking to people, and everyone's like, oh, no, we need, you know, nothing's wrong with illegal immigration. We don't need a wall. We don't need to, you know, control that. And I'm like, what in the world? Is this a conservative state? And then, you know, same thing. It's next thing we start finding all the, that's the funny thing about Utah compared to other conservative states. We're like supposedly this big red state, but we're the most liberal conservative state that I know of. I mean, you look at all the other states have been, you know, starting between 4 and 5 years ago, they were fed up with all the political correctness being, you know, being silenced, not being able to stand up for their religious beliefs. And that's why Trump was so wildly successful, because he was standing up against the political correct woke mob. Well, then you come here to Utah, and it's like, oh no, you know, all these collectivist movements that, you know, we let them grow here. Yeah, we love everybody. We love collectivism. Oh, open borders. Oh yeah. I mean, it's like, anyways. I mean, it is frustrating. It is, but the nice thing is people are starting to wake up and realize that, you know what. We see what this leads to. We see these things completely conflict with the form of government our founding fathers gave us and the very notion that there is a God. I mean, collectivism smacks the face of God in the idea of God in the face. It is the antithesis of there is a God. And when people start to realize the principles behind what's going on with these collectivist movements, they realize it's not just a nice, cute idea to do these collectivist movements. They are very dangerous. They're exact opposite principles this country is founded upon.
Okay, so another thing that I have big concerns about is what January 6th represents. We have over 700 people still locked up in prison, basically no more than trespassing. Finally, the government has figured out how to label some of them as seditious activity and try to go after those charges of sedition. But they've been in there for almost a year now for trespassing. I don't know how many people that were for the Antifa riots were locked up for that period of time for more than trespassing, including, you know, busting up buildings. What are your thoughts about that, and what can you do as a congressman? And we may have to start that answer on this side of the break, and then after the break, let you finish.
Well, my thoughts are this. You already hit the nail on the head. How is it we have people, you know, killing police officers, burning police cars, vandalizing, breaking, you know, it was complete war on the country from within. And yet these people, we'd lock them up for a day, let them out. Oh, there's nothing going on. This is peaceful protest while the city's burning. And then we have an orchestrated event on the Capitol, orchestrated. And all of a sudden, these people are still locked up. No due process. I mean, to say it's a double standard, it is. People have to wake up. People have to see what's going on, and not just wake up and see it, but at some point, what are people doing about this? You know, and our representatives, you know, what would I do about it? Yes, we have a few that have gone and banged on the door. No, you know what? You sit on that front door and you say, I will not leave this front door and I will not eat until we have justice. We need some warriors to step up and say, this is not okay what's happening in this country, and I'm not going to sit here and try to be nice and get along with everybody so that I can, you know, I can promote my career. No. The country is at the edge of disaster. We are about to lose everything this country stands for, and our kids are about to end up on their knees if we don't wake up and start saying there's a line that we cannot pass. And that line has been crossed years ago. And I'm still waiting for people to wake up and start standing up.
Well, Jason, the what can a congressman do? How can you affect that?
That one congressman can do very little. But as I talked to I asked a group of people, how many people does it take to change to peacefully take this country back? I'm looking for the right number, which is about 3.5% of what they found. And a girl stands up and she says, one man or one woman who stands with God. When you stand up for truth, Alexander Solzhenitsyn brought down the entire Russian system by exposing what went on in the gulags, by speaking truth, by not being afraid to stand up and say what he saw. One person who gets back there and stands up and says, this is not okay, and is willing to
Let's
stand up.
Let's trip on the other side, Jason.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Republic Broadcasting, this is Talk with John. Right now I've got Jason Preston. He is running for the United States Congress for Utah District 3. And folks, one of the reasons why I wanted to bring him on, yes, this is a national program. We have a very small percentage of the audience that actually listens from Utah. There may be a few more people tuning in that I know that knew that he was coming on from Utah, but the vast majority of our audience, huge, huge percentage, is not in Utah. You know, we might have 3% of our audience that is from Utah or something along those lines. But the reason why I wanted to bring on Jason is this is an individual that said it was time to stand up and stand up for you and me, the common man and woman, as it were. So I'm just going, where do we go from here? How do we stand up to Biden? How do we stand up to the federal government? How do we hold people accountable like Dr. Fauci? There's some emails that have just been released. It's been released, I believe it was in the Gateway Pundit and Project Veritas. No, he knew that there was money going to the Wuhan lab for those experiments that he denied. Now, I believe the exact verbiage is there were indirect payments going to the lab that was paying for those experiments. So how can we have people like you be the bulwark? What can you do when you go back there to make sure that we get this progressive wave that has happened and brought us to this place? And what can you do as a congressman?
Well, I think the key is, and I think the best example of that right now is you've got Jim Jordan, you've got Rand Paul. You know, what we need is an army, and I think that's what's coming this year is a red wave. And not just and I hate the term red wave because I don't want any more rhinos and people. It's not about Republicans. We need a tsunami of constitutional conservatives who understand the principles of liberty and who will go back there and fight. And when you have 20 representatives like that or 30 that will stand up and not lay down to these people, you're going to see things shake. Now, that being said, I'm about real change and saving the Constitution. And the thing that we need to remember is that this government is not supposed to be top-down. We live in a top-down government where all the authorities are at the top.
And they've become a top-down government.
It's become it, but our founding fathers gave us a bottom-up government. What we have to do is realize the leadership we're looking for is in the mirror. And the answer is it's not about waiting for the next president. The answer is look in the mirror and what can you do? And I'll tell you, the power of the individual is massive. You look at what's been going on with these mama bears since the last 2 years. We've had these mama bears start stepping up, and they have been at the Capitol. They have been in the schools. They have been taking over their city councils. The FBI is now going after these mama bears. These mama bears have struck the fear, put the fear of God into their local politicians. And because of that, all of a sudden you're seeing these local politicians start to be a little more careful about the things they do because they know that they're not just going to get away with whatever they want like they have in the past. Accountability is here. Well, I'm pretty excited about what the mama bears are doing, but what I'm excited about is if we think the mama bears are powerful, wait till men start waking up and remembering who they are, and we have an army of warriors that start to fight. We will take this country back in a heartbeat when the men wake up.
All right, let's hit a little bit more of that on the other side of this break. You're going to join us for about 10 to 15 minutes on the other side. So this is Talk with John, Jason Preston, running for Congress.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.